Cinematic Echoes, the Backwards Series, Season 3, Episode 1, The End of the Beginning, by Guinevere Eckert.
It's over. He's done for.
The flashback breathed a sigh of relief at the sight of the immobile skeletal systems of the vampiros Lucien the Great and his wife Calliope on the cave floor.
I can't believe they found us here.
I suppose leaving that map of the underground cave network from World War II Italy in 17th century Italy wasn't the smartest idea.
Probably not, Jimmy. But never fear. We've beaten countless vampiros already, and we're more than capable of doing it again.
You may be capable. I need a nap and a deep tissue massage. Well,
great purple penguins of Pluto. I wish these stupid vampiros had never existed in the first place.
Calm down, Jimmy. Like Max said.
Golly gee whiz, Jimmy, you're a genius.
Huh?
Are you sure genius is the right word? Because I generally go with mildly gifted, bordering on adorably stupid.
Guys, don't you see? We've spent the past, what is it now, 6 months?
More or less.
We've spent 6 months playing hopscotch through time, hunting down vampiros on an individual scale.
I'm pretty sure we all knew that, though, seeing as we were all more or less there. Go back to the part where I'm a genius.
And go there fast!
Fertris returned to the group from his lookout at the mouth of the cave, moving at what was considerably more than his normal speed.
Three of the innocent bros we set up have been absorbed! They'll be here any minute now!
No, they won't.
Actually, Max, I can see them from here. I'm pretty sure being here is on their immediate agenda.
Not if they don't exist.
You know what time and place this batch spawned from? Gosh, Max, there's got to be an easier way to get rid of them than all this time hopping, especially if the next one's as strong as Lucien was.
Man, he was a nasty one, wasn't he?
The tougher any vampires are, you can bet their maker was worse.
All true, but also old news. Let's do this thing of Max's before these guys arrive.
We will, but we can't leave without Keen and Molly.
Meanwhile, the second of the two missing pack members finally caught up with the first. Minus a transporter belt, Molly had made the 5-mile trek on foot, and between the rocks and vampiros was rather worse for the wear.
For the love of Stuart, not you again.
Sarah, I need to speak with you. Urgent.
It can wait, Molly.
No, it can't.
Molly, this is none of your business. Go away. William is going to be here any minute. I will not have you ruining my wedding night.
Wedding night? Sarah, please tell me you haven't. You can't be serious.
Not yet. Jeez, don't have an aneurysm. And don't think you can stop us either. William has promised to take me to ancient Athens for a honeymoon.
No, Keen, you are not married.
Molly, shut up. I am.
Keen!
Molly grabbed Keen by the shoulders and shook her soundly.
Keen, he's a demon.
Molly!
Just hear me out. He's half Vampiros. How do you think he got such an important title? That's known Vampiros property.
He is no such thing. How dare you say that? Wouldn't he have tried to kill me by now?
But Keen, he has killed you. He's the reason we died. Listen to yourself. What happened to the kind, shy Sarah that I knew? He's only half Vampiros. He doesn't drink blood, but he still sucks the innocence out of everything and everyone that gets close to him.
Lies! Horrible lies! I thought you were my friend, Molly.
I am your friend, Sarah, and that's why you have to hear this. If you get married to him, he'll turn you into a Vampiros as well.
He would never. Besides, we still don't know if half Vampiros can make new Vampiros.
Yes, we do, and they can, and they're harder to kill. Please, Keen, you have to believe me. You have to help me kill William.
Never! How typical of you, Molly. Always getting someone else to do your dirty work. Where's Max when you need him? If you so desperately want him dead, you can do it yourself. And you'll have to go through me first.
Please, Sarah, it's the only way.
Molly, if you say another word, I swear.
Useless banter. Silly words used by a sillier woman. Good afternoon, my beloved.
Keen's dark and dashing suitor, Sir William Alfred Wickersham, 14th Lord Duke of Blackmore, formerly known as the Greater North Sea Continent of Britain, swept to one knee and kissed her hand. He looked up at her from under his wide-brimmed and feathered chapeau and smiled.
Never fear, my dearest Sarah. I find it positively delightful that little Miss Molly should come all the way out here by herself, thinking she can put an end to me.
Sir William Alfred Wickersham, 14th Lord Duke of... Oh, for goodness sake! Bill stood up and pulled out a sword.
Sometimes the only way to get things done is to do them yourself.
Oh dear, I wouldn't let the rest of your precious pack hear you say that. Might dampen their happy little morale.
Like you dampened Keen's?
Oh, I assure you, Molly, Keen is quite happy with me.
And a jerk to everyone else!
Everyone else does not matter. Especially as I'll be hunting down the rest of the Flash Pack to finish them off. Once I've finished you, of course. It will be my wedding present to Lady Sarah. No more pesky, whining plebeians who think they're better than she.
Bakeen, I hope you're listening to this!
Bakeen was standing off to the side, looking utterly distressed. She flinched whenever Sir William barely dodged a blow from Molly, but jumped up and down and cheered him on every time he took the upper hand. Finally, the two combatants separated, out of breath.
Give up, Molly. Don't make this harder on yourself than it has to be. Besides, as a woman, do you really want to die in such a disheveled state, all covered with blood and dirt? It's a disgrace. I can end it painlessly. I can make you one of us. All you have to do is lay down your sword.
Are we fighting or are we talking?
I'm winning and you're losing.
With a tip of his hat and a swish of his cape, Sir William whirled around and stabbed Molly in the shoulder.
Molly, no!
Sir William wiped the blood off of his sword and knelt down next to Molly. He lifted her up, and as her neck approached his teeth, a laser beam emerged from his stomach.
Sorry, honey, but as much as my friends drive me crazy, I still enjoy having them in one piece.
Keen pressed a button, and the laser beam spread out, making toast of Sir William Alfred Really Long Title Guy. Then she ran to Molly, who was struggling to sit up.
I'm really glad that Julie's inventions work more times than they don't.
Wait, what? Molly, you're okay? But you were just run through.
I was. Thank the gods, the Hydro Steel skin armor with super stretch capabilities and fake blood worked, I think. Am I dead again?
Keen pinched Molly's exposed shoulder.
Ouch!
I'm voting on alive.
Thanks a lot.
Meanwhile, back with the flashback, the approaching vampiros were mere meters away from the cave, and Max still had yet to reveal his genius plan.
My point is, we know that killing any vampiros will automatically erase any of their spawn from time, but what if we go beyond that?
Max, we've been going beyond, above, around, and exceeded every limit nature has to offer us. Stop being cryptic and just tell us what's going on.
Stop Ector from creating them.
Max, you're a genius. I can't believe I didn't think of this before.
Because you're the only one who ever has any ideas.
Where did you guys come from? Why is Mario bloody?
We'll explain later. First, we have to go back to the 1670s and stop Sir Ector from completing his experiment.
Quick, everybody grab hands.
As the sounds of the approaching vampiros reached a distance where an impolitely loud conversation could potentially occur, the flashpack joined hands and, via Slaughter's watch, whirled away through the well-known vortex of time. When they landed, they were in England, in 1678. They were also standing in a circle, hands still joined, around a pale dead body. Slaughter and Keen backed away rather hastily, their eyes casting about for a suitable place to safely deposit their lunches.
But where's Sir Ector?
Sir Ector Huntington was, in fact, standing right behind Max, so infinitely absorbed in perfecting the potion that he was intending to feed the corpse that he was completely oblivious to the mutterings echoing through his stone laboratory. Max called out to the cad in his hero voice.
Sir Ector Huntington!
He spun around to scan the room just as Sir Ector turned, rather quickly, to see who was shouting for him while standing right behind him.
There you are, you conniving evil!
As previously stated, Sir Ector had turned rather quickly, a relatively bad idea when carrying concoctions meant for the resurrection of the dead, especially when the dish you're carrying it in has no lid, as it is very likely that said red glorping concoction will spill all over you, rot your face away, and leave you in a twitching puddle on the floor.
Well then.
Oh, snap. Alyssa's going to kill me for this one. Max, you just took out the guy that invented gravity.
Way to go, bro.
I didn't mean to kill him.
Quick, let's go back and fix it.
No!
Vertris, we've done this how many times? You know you're not allowed to time step to a place where you know you already are.
Because you haven't broken 1,000 of your time stepper rules already.
Well, with Ector out of the picture, he and poor Isaac won't have to have that big trial concerning who discovered gravity first.
I always liked Isaac better anyway. I got lost when I was little and he gave me an apple.
Gang, let's take stock of this for a moment. We defeated the vampiros, once and for all. That means we can finally go home again!
My lab!
My treaties!
My rubber bands!
Wait, guys, we never found the cat ship.
Man!
Look, I don't know about anybody else, but I'm tired, I'm sore. I know at least two of our members are in need of a second lunch, and if I recall correctly, the ship was in several more pieces than it ought to have been when we last saw it. I vote we leave the stupid ship wherever it is and just go home.
Drowse is right. We've been through time searching for that thing. Let's face it, somebody took it.
Get over it, Molly. You just have to accept that you're not the only person in this space-time continuum that is obsessed with old junk.
Oh, come on, guys. I know it's a hunk of junk, but it's our ship.
How's about we just try one spot?
Where, up your nose? I think that's the only place we haven't looked yet.
No, Fuzzbrain. We'll go back to when we crashed it and take it back before anyone else gets to it. We exited that ship pretty quickly and booked it for the hills. If I set my watch for 15 minutes after we crashed, we should be able to get in and out unnoticed.
Are you sure, Slaughter? I hate it when you go messing with stuff you don't know.
Drallis, out of the two of us, who has not killed any of their friends in the past year?
Drallis blushed a new shade of blue, and Slaughter fiddled with the dials on her watch. Once again, the flash pack grabbed hands and were whisked through time. This time, they landed exactly where they had landed exactly 6 months ago. The sunset was the same, the mountains looked the same, and an unfamiliar silence where there should have been the familiar sound of them being attacked by a horde of vampiros echoed from the distance. However, stranger than that was that instead of looking upon the dusty wreck of their Saladonian catship, what the pack found was their catship in only one piece, and it was shining.
Holy space halos, that thing's shiny.
And not broken.
The flash pack slowly approached the catship.
Are we sure it's ours?
Do you remember anyone else crashing a Saladonian catship named Marvin 3 here?
Well, no, but I do remember us crashing, and that isn't crashed.
Look, a note.
Indeed, there was what appeared to be a note tucked under one of the catship's windshield wipers.
Ooh, who's it from? Can we keep it?
The note or the ship, Fuzzball?
It's from us?
Let me see that. Well, technically it's from Molly. She's the only one who writes her asses like that.
How is that something that anyone could possibly ever know?
Molly blushed.
Well, guys, it looks like this is, in fact, our ship. Turns out, we found it and fixed it up, then left it here so that we could find it and go home.
But how did we do all of this? I, for one, don't have any recollection of seeing this hunk of junk since the crash.
That's one of the side effects of spending so much time traveling space and changing things around. If you do something in one time and then go back and change something in another time, it's very likely to alter the future that you came from, so you'd be doing different things.
How do you know that?
How do I know that?
Come on, gang. We can worry about that later. Let's get out of here.
Their mission solved, all the flash pack had to do was head back to their floating space complex hovering over Seattle. They squished themselves into the tiny seats of their ship and set a course for Flashpoint.
Steloff, we're home!
Has the flash pack finally returned to its own time? Are vampiros finally gone for good? Will Molly and Keen's relationship ever be the same? The answers begin in next year's season premiere, That's My Paradox.